For our scripture reading, please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 14 through 18 are the verses we'll be reading, and we'll read them responsively. Page 1234 in your Schofield Bible. Page 1, 2, 3, 4. And may we stand as we always do for the reading of God's Word. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And let's finish together, please. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you'd open our ears and our hearts truly to the preaching. Give us attentiveness. More than that, give us the fullness of thy spirit in this all-important hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak to you this morning on the subject. You don't have all that you think you have. You don't have all that you think you have. I'm going to startle you before we get through this morning and let you know that what you think you have is not what you really have. And we'll have to hasten. I'll have to speak quickly. You'll have to listen carefully because we're just a bit late due to the Lord's Supper. You don't have all that you think you have. There's misunderstanding about the Christian life. And most of you have a part of that misunderstanding. And I want to share with you this morning on this subject. You don't have all that you think you have. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the Word of God. I pray you'd help me to do it, led and anointed and filled by thy Spirit. Speak to our hearts, do something to us. Help us to grow in grace because we've come. Amen. As I said, you don't have all that you think you have. There's a misunderstanding, or there are many misunderstandings about the Christian life. For example, many of us think this morning that we have eternal life. But the truth is, many of the people in this room this morning do not have eternal life, who sincerely and earnestly think that they do. There are hundreds of people this morning who think that they are in the kingdom of God, and they're saved. They're going to heaven when they die. And they think they're in the kingdom of God, but they're not in the kingdom of God. You say, preacher, are you trying to tell me that a person can be saved and not be in the kingdom of God? That's exactly what I'm telling you. And this morning, there are people all over this room who think they have eternal life, who do not have eternal life. I want to share with you this morning. You see, when a person is saved, he doesn't get it all. This thing about when you get salvation, you get all of it. No, that isn't true. Now follow me very, very carefully. When you get saved, you do get everlasting life. That's all settled. The minute you put your faith in Christ and trusted Him as your Savior, that settled it. You will live forever. You'll go to heaven when you die. You'll be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. That's all settled. You do get everlasting life when you get saved. Now, you do get, when you get saved, your name written in heaven. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, that moment God put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you do get your name written in heaven. Now, when you get saved, you do get justified. Not one single sin is ever recorded against your record in heaven after you got saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? No wonder the psalmist said, and was quoted by the apostle when he said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not sin. It doesn't mean we don't sin. It means that our sins are recorded against Jesus' record and not against our record. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven, for He holds me fast. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. I'm saying when you got saved, you did get everlasting life. I'm saying when you got saved, you did get your name written in heaven. I'm saying when you got saved, you did get justified. And you did get salvation from hell. Thank God nobody that's trusted Jesus will ever go to hell. But you say, what if I do something wrong after I get saved? When I go to hell? No, you don't go to heaven because you do something right, so you don't go to hell because you do something wrong. You go to heaven because you do the only right thing that a man can do, untainted by sin, and that is put his faith totally in Jesus Christ as his Savior. So, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Then you are a possessor of everlasting life. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Then you do have your name written in heaven, and it's indelibly written there and cannot be erased. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Then you are justified. Your sins, though you commit sin, they're not recorded against you judicially in heaven, but against the record of our Savior. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Then you do have salvation from hell. You will never burn in the torments of hell. You will be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. But there are many things that we think we have at salvation that we don't have. There are some things at salvation that we get just like that. A new nature. The Holy Spirit comes in to live. Name written in heaven. Saved from hell. On our way to the glory world. But there's some things, now follow me carefully, there's some things you get when you get saved, but there's some things you do not get when you get saved, but things that are made available to you when you get saved. Now let me illustrate. Several years ago, I promised the young people if they would work hard for our nationwide youth conference, that I would go to Great America is called then. Now it's called Six Flags Over something. And I'd go to Great America with them. Now, Great America is one of those places that has those big doojiggers that go like that and like that and like that. And I didn't know what they had. I thought, you know, you rode the merry-go-round. But I promised the kids. I hadn't been to one of those things in 20 years. I promised the kids that if they'd work hard in youth conference, I'd go to Great America. Well, I did. When we got a little, Larry Weller was driving. We got just about where you could see that big American Eagle. Is that what it's called? American Eagle. See that rascal? That what do you call them? Roller coasters, yeah. And I looked at the thing. It's not like it used to be. And I told Larry, I said, Larry, I feel like I'm about to have a baby. I think I feel like a woman feels. When she's going to have a baby, I know I'm going to be okay, but I hate to go through it. And it's going to be labor. And you older people haven't seen one of those things in a long time. Well, you're a kid, you know, those things went like this. You know how those suckers go now? Huh? They go like that. I mean, sometimes you're looking down, you're looking up. And now, I walked in, had my ticket, I got in. Now I'm in Great America. Now what I wanted to do was just sit down there inside the entrance with some cotton candy and a Coke. A Coke. And after I got on that American Eagle, I wanted to. But anyway, I wanted to sit down there. Now you see, I had access. I think this is true. Don't stamp your hand or something, and you get the rides free when you get in. You pay. I got in. Now I won't sit there. And I was in. But now I had my choice. I could either sit there or I could take advantage, or disadvantage, of all the things that were there. Now salvation's that way. You come inside, you're inside. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I was on the airplane the other day. A couple years ago. Sitting beside a real old man. Must have been 60 or over. And I was sitting beside this. And it's obvious that the old man never flown before. I mean, he never put his weight down. He held on to the side all the time. And so the stewardess came up and said, do you want lunch? And he said, no, ma'am. And I said, aren't you hungry? He said, yes. I said, don't you want lunch? And he said, yes, I want lunch. He said, he got his billfold out. He said, how much is it? And I said, sir, when you got your ticket on the plane, you got your ticket for lunch too. He said, give me some lunch. Now, you see, he didn't know. Now, he didn't have to eat it. Sometimes folks don't eat on the plane. But it is accessible to them. Now, when a person gets saved, his sins are forgiven. He's on his way to heaven. He's justified. His name is written in heaven, the book of life. He's going to heaven. He's not going to go to hell. But there are many things that he thinks he gets. He doesn't get, but things that are made available to him. A fellow gets married. Well, I mean, a fellow can't get married by himself. Takes a fellow and a woman to get married. And they get married. And I pronounce them husband and wife. Now, if he wants to, he can go back to his motel, and she can go back to her mom and dad. And they're married. But, I mean, the truth is that they're married. But there are enjoyments. There's pleasures that they can have that within the marriage boundaries. And some folks get married just so they can get to America. People sometimes in foreign countries will marry just so they can get to America. I'm afraid that many people get saved just so they can get to heaven. But once you get inside of salvation, there are many things available to you, but they're not all given to you at salvation. We have access to some things that we must appropriate. For example, here's a man lying on the ground. He's bound in chains and he can't move. His mouth is gagged. Somebody comes and they unbind him. Take the gag out of his mouth and they unbind him. Now the man is on the ground still. He's unbound. And then they say, let me pick you up and help you. Now that's up to him. Just because he's unbound doesn't mean he's walking and eating and bathing and enjoying his freedom. There are many people this morning in this room. Jesus came and unbound you from the fetters of sin. And yet he offers you something. But listen, he will not pick you up unless you let him pick you up. He will not give you most of the things in the Christian life are not yours just because you got saved. They are available to you because you got saved. And I'm talking to folks this morning not enjoying most of the delicacies of the Christian life because you were deceived. People said, when I came to Jesus, he gave me perfect peace. No, he didn't. He gave you eternal life, but you've got to reach out and take perfect peace after he gives you eternal life. I've had nothing but joy since I came to Jesus. When I got saved from sinking sand, he lifted me. No, he didn't. No, you got saved. He unbound you. He forgave you. He justified you. But there's some things that he made available to you that are not yours until you appropriate them by faith. Let me give you four of them. We have time. First, you're not practically a child of God just because you got saved. You are not practically a child of God just because you got saved. Now, positionally, you're born into God's family. But practically, you're not a child of God. Oh, you say, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Now, listen, practically, you're not unless you meet some conditions. It says in John 1:11-12, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, now follow these words, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You'll check that word power. A synonym for that word is authority. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. But it does not say, but as many as received him became the sons of God. It says he gave them the authority or the privilege or accessibility to become a child of God. Now, our text this morning said, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now in verse 18 he says, do that, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my children. Now listen to me. You're not a child of God practically this morning just because you got saved. Now you're born in His family. And positionally, you're His child. But practically, God says, you're not my child until you come out from among them and be separate. That means the Christian folks in the country club last night are not practically God's children. Now, God, being God's child is accessible to you. And when you accepted Him or received Him, He gave you power or authority to become God's child. But God said, you hobnob with the world, you're not my child. I'll take you to heaven when I die, and your name is written in heaven, but I won't treat you like a father. He says you've got to come out from among them. Come out from among what? Come out from among the liberal denomination. Come out from among the National Council of Churches. Come out from among the local ministerial association. Come out from among the world. Come out from among the nightclubs. Come out from among the soap operas. Come out from among the primetime television shows. Come out from among rock music. God says, I want to be a father to you, and I want you to be a child of me. But God said, if you expect me to be your father, you're going to have to behave yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I want a relationship between my God and me that is a father-son relationship. You know what this old nation needs? This old nation needs a generation of Christians who don't love the world so much. My Bible says that we're not supposed to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. We spend too much time in, and I'm not talking about sinful things, I'm talking about just the world, the cosmos, the arrangement. Now listen to me. I don't understand it. Why wouldn't any Christian want God the Father to treat him like a father? And why wouldn't you want to feel like you're God's child? You're not practically a child of God just because you got saved. You have accessibility to that relationship. As many as received Him, to them gave He the authority to become the sons of God. And you'll come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Then will I be a father unto you, and ye shall be my son. I've got to hurry. Number two, you're not in the kingdom of God just because you got saved. You think you are. Somebody asked you this morning, are you in the kingdom of God? You'd have said yes, but no, you're not. No, you're not. Listen, God's kingdom. Well, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom. Now, when you get born again, that gives you accessibility to enter into the kingdom. But I want you to hear me. The kingdom of God is composed of all that God rules. The kingdom of God is composed of all that God rules. Now, as a child of God, until He rules you, you are not a part of God's kingdom. You're going to heaven when you die, and you're saved. But you run your own, I'll do my own thing. I'll go where I want to go. I'll be what I want to be. I'll say what I want to say. I'll do what I want to do. You don't have a right to do that. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. But God says, when you get born again, you now have accessibility to the kingdom. But you're going to have to yield your life to the king. You don't belong to the kingdom until you're ruled by the king. You come to the place in your life to where you say, Jesus, I, my cross, have taken all to leave and follow thee. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Dear live, I surrender all. When you get there, then you surrender your life, and the King of Kings becomes your king, and He becomes your ruler, and that moment you become a part of God's kingdom. There's something else, and that is eternal life. Now, this is going to shock some of you. You don't have eternal life just because you get saved. Everlasting life, yes. Everlasting life is a quantity. Eternal life is a quality. Everlasting life is a duration. Eternal life is a type of a life. Now, you can have everlasting life and not have eternal life. Jesus, the apostle said in, I think, 1 Timothy 6:12, and then again 1 Peter 18 or 19, he said, lay hold on eternal life. Now, he was writing to Timothy. He said, Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. Timothy already had everlasting life. Are you saved? You have everlasting life. You'll live in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But you don't have eternal life unless you live in this world for that which is eternal. Which book do you read the most? Which book do you read the most? Did you watch the TV more or read the Bible? Now answer me. Did you watch the TV this week more or read the Bible? I mean, there are people in this house who spent 10, 12 hours watching the Dirty Box last week, didn't spend 10 minutes reading the Bible. Now you have everlasting life, but you don't have eternal life. Heaven shall pass away, and earth shall pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Forever, O Lord, my word is settled in heaven. Oh, for some people who want to live for eternal things. Oh, for some people to whom eternal things. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm talking about soul winning. There are hundreds of people this morning, hundreds of people in this room. You've been born again, but you're not God's child and you won't be till you become separated. There are hundreds of people in this room this morning. You are in God's family officially and you're saved and your name is written in heaven, but you've never entered in the kingdom of God. You can. When you get saved, you have access. If you choose to become a son of God, you can. If you choose to enter into the kingdom of God, you can. You have access. You have the keys. You have the ticket. When you come to Christ and trust Him as your Savior, you have access to eternal life. Oh, my soul hunger. I've said this before lately. I hunger for my people to be spiritual. I hunger for you to live for something above the temporal. I hunger for you to find out there's a God in heaven. I hunger for you to find out about the Holy Spirit. I hunger for you to find out about the things of that book. I hunger someday for our people. More concerned about the truth of God than the garbage of gossip. I hunger for that with all of my soul. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can have everlasting life without having eternal life. And let me tell you something. You can trust Jesus as your Savior without giving Him rule of your life. And you will not be a part of that which He rules. And you will not be a part of the kingdom of God now. Let me tell you something. You can, in your life, have everlasting life and know you're going to heaven when you die. Let me ask you a question. What kind of life are you living while you're on your way? You think you have it, but you don't. If somebody asks you this morning, are you a child of God? Yes, sir. But many of you are not, practically. Somebody asks this morning, are you in the kingdom of God? Oh, yes, but He doesn't rule your life. Somebody asks you this morning, you have eternal life? Sure, I'm saved. Ah, but you don't. You don't. You have accessibility. But the truth is, most of us are just exactly like I was at Great America. You got inside, you looked up, and looked awful hard to you to be a Christian. You didn't want to go through the danger of riding the will of God. It looked dangerous to you. Somebody might get mad at you. You might get criticized. You might be called a fanatic. You might be called a fool. And so what did you do? You did exactly what I wanted to do at Great America. You sat down inside the gate on the roll of heaven, redeemed with the blood of Christ, going to heaven, everlasting life. But you've never ridden one ride yet. You're married but haven't even gone home with her yet. You're inside salvation with all these blessed things accessible to you, but you've never taken time to claim that which is rightly yours. There's a fourth thing, and I hasten to say it, and that is the working of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 2, ask the question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now the truth is, He wasn't asking them, did the Holy Spirit come into your body to live since you believe? Because the Holy Spirit comes in. Since the resurrection of Christ, every single person who receives Christ as Savior is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people have not received Him, though He lives in their bodies. I have this in my book on the Holy Spirit. Here's a widow with children. And she marries. And so her new husband comes in to live with her and her children. Now, he comes in to live. He's living there. He eats there. He sleeps there. That's where he lives. Now, she accepts him because she loves him. But a child doesn't, oftentimes. A child becomes bitter. A child sometimes, though he's there, the child doesn't accept him. And the Holy Spirit came into you when you got saved and lives there. Now it's time you acknowledged he was there. No, he won't do his work in you just because you got saved. He comes in to live, but he will not force his way into your life. And he'll sit there as still and quiet as a mouse till you recognize him and honor his presence and accept him as the Holy Spirit who lives in your life. Better illustration than that. Here's a guy's mother-in-law comes to live. That's even harder to accept. But here's the guys, and I'm just kidding because my mother-in-law lives with us and she's welcome there, and I'm just kidding when I say that. I'm not kidding when I say she's welcome there, but I'm kidding when I said the other. I'm glad you're listening. When I make a mistake, you always catch it just like that. It makes me know you're out there. But a mother-in-law comes in to live. More than likely, if it's a woman's mother-in-law, she may find it harder to accept than a man. Mother-in-law. Now the reason for that is because men are so much easier to get along with than women. We're kinder, more gracious, more understanding, more patient, more egotistical, and more humble. But women are very, very strange. But here's a woman whose mother-in-law comes to live with her. And the mother-in-law comes in and she watches her cook dinner and she says, "Is that the way you do it?" She says, "Yes, ma'am." What she wants to say is, "You dirty buzzard, if you don't like it, go back where you came from." So, the old man comes home for supper. She beats you to the door to kiss him. She says, "Hello, sweetie pie, little angel." And you say, "Get out of my way, you little hussy, you little devil. I want to get..." And before you know it, she's there. She lives there. It's obvious she lives there. But she's not accepted. Now, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside you to live. And he's there. But he's very quiet. And he will not force his way. His power is available. But he'll not force it on you. His leadership is available. But he'll not force it on you. His strength is available, but he'll not force it on you. His comfort is available. He'll not force it on you. Folks, why don't you decide to jump on the rides? Why don't you decide, "I'm going to be more than just a Christian. I'm going to have eternal life. I'm laying hold on eternal life. I'm going to lay hold on those things that are eternal." Why don't you say, "I'm going to be a child of God practically. I'm going to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father that's exactly like a father and a son, or a father and a daughter." The other day, Wednesday night, before my birthday on Thursday, normally I come straight from the superintendent's meeting over to the auditorium for the service, but I don't know why, I went back to I had a little cold, I think I went back to get me a cough drop or something, but I went back to my office. And just as I walked in the office, I looked around, and there was Linda, our middle daughter. I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, I thought she was 1,000 miles from here. And there she stood. And I thought, "Now, who's dead? What's wrong? Why is she here? Am I dying?" And I said, "Puddin', what are you doing?" I call them all Puddin', Puddin' 1, Puddin' 2, Puddin' 3. I called Cindy chocolate pudding. She's darker complexed than the others, but I call them all pudding. Always have. And I said, "Pudding, what are you doing here?" She said, "I came home for your birthday." "My birthday? Yeah, your 60th birthday. My birthday? First thought I had: am I dying with cancer, and they haven't told me about it? They call in the family home. My birthday. Well, I never think about my birthday much. My birthday." She said, "Well, yeah." And she and Cindy got together. And they thought of more cute things to do for me for my birthday I want you to know. Little things, but cute things. They came out to meet me at the airport. Had the inside of the car decorated. Balloons, flyers, pennants, that crepe paper stuff, all inside the car. I mean, it's embarrassing. And naturally, being women, I had to get back to had a funeral service. I had to get back to the funeral, and so got in the car. Would you believe it? Gas tank was on empty. I was driving it. Of course, no woman ever gets a car filled up with gas, and on empty. So I thought, Lord, help us to make it to the first little toll road thing, you know. It was the day it was raining. Oh, it was raining cats and dogs, and a few skunks and possums was raining too. And, oh, it was raining. And so we got on the tollway, and I said, Lord, get us that first to. He did. Well, the thing was right on empty. Drove up there. Whew, finally made it. And I said, go get some gas. I gave him some money. Get some gas. I'll call Ms. McKinney and tell her I'm going to be a little bit late to the funeral. We'd gotten all kinds of bad traffic. It was flooding and so forth. And so they went over. I came out. I said, Dad couldn't get any gas because lightning or something has struck and all the electricity is off and the pumps won't work. Couldn't get any gas. Oh, said 24 miles to the next place. Oh, my soul. We prayed to get to that one. And we got on the highway and the angel kept putting a drop of gas every once in a while. Finally, we got out here. We didn't think we'd make it, but finally we got out here. And we're 25 minutes late to the funeral, and we're trying to hurry and hurry, and the traffic was thick, and finally pulled up there, and there was a car all decorated, balloons, and pretty thing. I mean, you looked like we were in a parade or something. And I said to the fella, hurry, and he filled it up. He said, let me get you a free glass. I said, I haven't got time for a glass. He said, oh, why? I said, we're going to a funeral. Cindy and Linda both put their heads down like that. Going to a funeral? Yeah. I bet he's still shaking his head. Balloons and streamers and decorated, going to a funeral. Got to go to a funeral. But little things like that mean much. I want to be close to my father. I want to be like a child to him. I'll be honest with you. There are times I get a little weary of being the boss and the dad. There are times I wish my mother were alive and I could go put my head in her lap. But thank God, as best I know how, I've come clean with him. He's my papa. I'm his child. And there's one place I can still go. I'm Jack. I want to be more than just a Christian. I want to be his child. I want to be more than just have my name in heaven. I want him to rule my life. I want him to be my king, me to be his subject, and me to just do what he says to do. I want more than life that'll live forever. I want the richest, most spiritual life I can have on earth. And I want more than just have Jesus as my Savior. I want the Holy Spirit, my comforter, and my strength, and my guide. You don't have what you think you have. There are many things God gave you when He saved you. But many things you think you got, you didn't get. Those things were available to you, and they are, if you appropriate them, by faith. Father,